Wow. Wow. That was amazing. That was inspiring. That was very inspiring to me. Well, today we're going to talk about the grace that built us and the faith that moves us. That's what we're going to talk about. I don't know if this is working, but you can advance. There we go. So I'm kind of looking back a little bit. And as I mentioned before, my wife and I, we moved out here in 2007, January 2nd. And we were the high school, middle school ministers. And as I have mentioned before, and I shall mention again, I was the worst teen minister in the history of the North River Church. I own it. It just wasn't my lane, but I gave it my best. And so not only was I not a great teen minister, so we moved here, and within like 10 minutes, a brother who shall remain nameless, but who's very visionary and likes a lot of movement and stuff like that, he had an idea that Christy and I could lead an all-Atlanta teen rally, even though we've been here 5 minutes. And so we had to coordinate with all of Atlanta, with people we didn't even know, right? We just moved here, and we didn't even know how to do teen ministry. And so it was crazy. And not only was it crazy, the concept that we were taking, it was this national initiative, and it was called Positive Choice, was what it was called. And we were using their material for this big teen rally. And Positive Choice was about sexual abstinence. So here we come, straight out of California, just moved here, new ministry, trying to lead these high schoolers and middle schoolers, get them at the midweek, use our material. Hi, guys, it's nice to meet you. We're Jeff and Christy, we're your new leaders. Can you open your Bibles? Tonight we're going to talk about STDs. It's amazing that I'm still here, man. Oh, okay, I don't know. Wow, here we go. Yeah, there it is. And, you know, one of the things that was also really cool about being here was, you know, just seeing all the stuff that we were moving around. I mean, my gosh, they showed you the Marriott we were living in and Marietta Conference Center and the synagogue. And I remember we were meeting at the Marietta Conference Center, right? And there was another church meeting at the same time. As if that's not confusing, right? Now, the other congregation at that time was a pretty much predominantly black church, all right? And so basically, like, people, like the staff or whatever, if a black person came, even if they were our visitors, they would say, oh, you black, you're gonna take them down to the other church service. Conspiring against us. But somehow we still made it through all of it. And we would just talk about, oh, if we only had our own facility, right? But wow, look what God has blessed us with. But this facility, you know, even this facility came about, just so you know, by some visionary and generous people. A very small number of very visionary and very generous people really socked away money, for lack of a better phrase, in the hopes of one day purchasing a building. And when the time came, you know how they say, it's better to be ready than have to get ready. And when the time came, the funds were there to put the down payment on here. But it was a small, very small group of very committed and generous brothers and sisters, some of whom are in this room right now. That's how North River, each part doing its work. I'm very proud of this congregation. Very proud. And so when I was thinking about what can I even share? Like, what, honestly, what can I share, like, in this amount of time? And I think the thing that resonates with me the most, honestly, is found in this next passage that I want to read with you guys. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Can you say thankful?
Thankful.
Thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with, say, gratitude, please.
Gratitude.
Gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving what?
Thanks.
To God the Father through him. To me, it's all about gratitude.
Amen.
Gratitude. I think that's what is so, so needed in our world today. And it's what I'm overwhelmed with when I stand in this spot looking at all of you. So grateful for all of the sacrifices that have been made. So grateful for all the volunteer hours that have gone into this congregation. So grateful for those of you that have sacrificed so much to come here every day, week after week, to see God do amazing things. I just hope that we can cultivate that heart of gratitude.
Amen.
You see, I also believe that there's an attack on that gratitude, right? You know what I mean? And I think we got to watch out for that. And so we got to figure out, how do you let the peace of Christ rule in your heart? That peace, that shalom, how do you let it rule in your heart? And I think Jesus actually gave us a great example of how to do it, because Jesus is the one we're following. And the next slide, I want to look at a moment where I believe the peace that we need is this: it's in Jesus. It's when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. This is before Jesus is going to be physically tortured and killed, but he's reclining. There's a peace that he has, a deep-seated something that's calm and tranquil in the midst of chaos. He said, I have eagerly desired for this moment. Even though he knows he's going to his death, he's eagerly desired to eat the Passover before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks. Thanks. Gratitude. No matter what the situation, gratitude. This is not a great moment for Jesus. When his closest guys betraying him, still gratitude. Gratitude is the key. We got to learn how to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts and have this type of gratitude. You know, my closing kind of part, I felt like I should talk to the people that are 50 and over.
Right here.
Amen?
Right
here. Come on, Mercedes. Mercedes stood up, she said, bring it on, Jeff. 200 and over, yeah. I think gratitude is really, really important. You know, for those of us 50 and over, I just felt compelled to share it at this moment in our history. Because when I moved here, I was in my 30s. All right? And Tom was in his 50s. Okay? And so at that time, Tom in his 50s, he was like a peer to all of the most, kind of the eldest people in the church. But now, you guys are 20 years older. But there's a younger guy. Now there's two younger guys kind of leading, right? Oh no. What's going to happen? They're going to mess up. They're going to shipwreck the whole thing. I think we got to be careful, those of us who are older. We got to cultivate a heart of gratitude. And skip two slides real quick. Not the next one, but the one after that. One more. I want this to be us. You know, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And by this, he meant the Spirit. I just hope that those of us that are older, that have been walking with the indwelling Spirit longer, I just pray that we can allow that to overflow, you know, and we can get from the overflow of gratitude for what we've experienced, as Tom mentioned, in the communion, because we've experienced more. We've got more stuff in there that can help us be grateful and allow that to overflow, because there is a temptation, next slide, that when you get older, you can have like a different kind of mindset. And the next slide, only old people are going to really understand it. We don't need this at North River. looking from a distance and critiquing. Okay, we don't, that's not necessarily the spirit hopefully we can have. I'm kind of having a little fun, but I do think there's gratitude. Like, let's invest in that gratitude, right? Don't say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. And I think, you know what? Some of us who have older, I've had great moments. I'll never forget my early days. Oh my gosh. I saw so many amazing things. We singles ministry stuff, blow your mind. I still, to this day, remember, you know, in Orange County leading hundreds of singles. We had our own midweek, had a huge 300 singles with, you know, food and stuff. And these things I remember, I saw, experienced. I was here when the Edge started with our singles and just coming together and just seeing stuff happen. Like, whoa, God is doing great things. So I've seen stuff, but here's the deal. Let's let this generation experience their own stuff. They're going to have their stuff. What can we offer? We can offer that deep well from within, that spiritual gratitude that overflows. And if you're older in this church, you should never, in my opinion, say, man, I'm not needed. I'm not needed. I mean, what do I really have to offer? I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. There is a spot for you, and let me help you out with something. Every dog on Sunday. People walk through that door, and they don't know a person in this place. They Google it, whatever, and they show up at this church. If you are feeling, man, I don't know my place. People don't, you know, I don't know. You know what you need to do? Get your butt into the lobby after church every Sunday. Say hello to an unfamiliar face. Hello, my name is whatever. And let me tell you something. You can help somebody grow. Overflow of the gratitude in you. I just hope that we can be that part of the body that doesn't sit around and go, yeah, my time is passing by. Or man, back in the day in the 60s and 70s, it was great. It was wonderful. It can be great right now, but we need you to dig into that well of experience. We've all had the ups and the downs, man. We've all seen best friends walk away. Or maybe this isn't the place for them and we still love them. But, you know, we've had those moments. But we're still here. If you're still here, you are needed, maybe more than ever. Ask God to give you the gratitude to overflow, to help us keep building for the next 20 years and beyond, when it's time for these younger ones to really let it go. But you know what? We're going to keep with it and serve and love and be with them. Amen? I'm going to hand it over to Jordan for your part. I'm good.
Yeah. Amen. So we're going to continue on here, guys. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15. And in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by," say this with me, "the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect." I feel this deeply in my bones. Because about 20 years ago, when I was walking on the Georgia Tech's campus as an atheist, as a drug dealer, as a shoplifter, you wouldn't have pointed and said, "Look, there goes a future minister." You probably would have gone, "Look, there goes a future mugshot." And then God sent, who was I? I was someone just running after, trying to fill up the emptiness of my soul, trying to fill it up with everything in the world. And then God sent some angels in my life, like Brad and Marcus and Alex and Brandy. And they might not have looked like angels, but they were walking miracles to me. And through their faith, God turned my whole world around, my whole life around. I got baptized. I was forgiven. I was given a purpose. So when Paul says, "By the grace of God, amen, I am what I am," I feel that deeply. And thinking about this moment together, reflecting on the last 20 years, North River, I just wanted to personally say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for being a place where lost people like me could find hope. Thank you for being a family where lonely souls like me could find belonging and find family. God used you, this congregation, to save my soul. I was baptized here right over there. I learned how to become a man here. I was married on this stage. I went in the ministry here. I had kids here. Thank you. Thank you for being a family where God could use you to transform everything about my life. And then he continues back in 1 Corinthians 15. You can go to the next slide. And he says, his grace to me was now without effect. Have you noticed that grace doesn't just save us? Next slide. It transforms us. I love this picture of Cole getting baptized. Coming out of the water, he was like geeked. He was excited. I mean, I think he came out screaming, "Dim boys," or something. What was it? "We dim boys?" All right, because Jesus was that boy. Okay. Man, but God changes everything in our lives through his grace. How we live, how we serve, how we love. And I think one of the greatest ways we can honor the past 20 years is to not let his grace continue to have an effect this next 20 years. Because we're fueled by grace, and that built us as a church. But now we're gonna let that grace let us have faith, to be moved by faith looking forward. Amen? So let's go to Ephesians 3. This will be our next passage here in Ephesians 3. And it reads, "Now to him who is able to do how much more? Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. According to our power? According to his power that is at work within us." It was never about us. It was always about him. "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Man, I love this passage. "Now to him is to do immeasurably more." Man, and it doesn't talk about our power. It talks about his power. Next slide. Faith doesn't just start with what's possible. It starts with who's powerful. And as we think about the next 20 years, I would call us to not think about what's possible, but whose power is at work? Whose presence is here? That it's not just what can we do together. I'm actually not interested in what we can do as humans together. I'm interested in what the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the one that created the universe, could do through us. And so let's dream, though, for a moment about what could we ask or imagine. You know, in our growing secular and worldly environment, what if over the next 20 years, God calls a revival in the next generation of the church? That the peers of our teens, our campus, our singles, looked at them as beacons of hope across the Orlando metro area. That they were known for love, for radical, courageous faith. And that love grew so much in our next generation that we started having to plant locations around the Orlando metro area. In the city, in Woodstock, in Cartersville. Because the revival that was happening in the next generation. You know, we started about 177 people 20 years ago. Now we're about 850. What if God over the next 20 years took us to 2,000? Not for numbers' sake, but for the sake of lost souls being saved by the Good Shepherd. You know, in a world where there's a crisis of manhood, what if North River was a place that was known for where boys could become men? Where we were known for mighty men that don't imitate the fake manliness of the world, but that imitate the character of Jesus. The greatest man of all time. What if the way we loved and served the needy was so spirit-filled that state officials would call North River when there was a need and say, "Could you send the followers of Jesus there to help us?" What if? What can we imagine? And what did that? I can imagine all those things. But what did that passage say? It's more, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. God's power can do so much more than we could ever think of these next 20 years. But our church was never more than God's story and each of us individually combined. And so I want to ask the question, where will you be 20 years from now? You know, for us, I got a one-year-old, In 20 years, he'll be drinking his first drink. I'm sure he'll never have had a drink before then. My 26-year-old Cam will hopefully be graduating college, right? You know, here's a picture of Toy and I recently. In 20 years, we might look like this.
He's showing a picture.
Now notice, I changed, right? I'm wise enough to not put that other picture up there. Toya's never gonna change, right? But where will you be 20 years from now? You know, in 20 years, some of us will be retired. Some of us will have teenage kids. And some of our college students will finally be paying off their student loans. Praise God. But let me ask you a different question. What's gonna matter most to you in 20 years? Will it matter that you worked those few extra hours to get that project or get a little bit more money? Will it matter if you got to scroll a few more hours or watch that next episode on Netflix? Or will it be the difference you made in someone else's eternity? How you loved and helped change someone else in an incredible way. What's gonna matter? It's gonna be the hands you hold, the hearts you heal, and the souls you reach. Those are the things that are gonna last. I wanna encourage you over the next 20 years to dream again, to dream for how God can use your life. That no matter what you've experienced, we're not those people that dream about the old days or high school days or whatever. We want to dream for what God's power can continue to do because his presence is still here. His presence is still powerful. Don't just dream about what's possible, but to dream about what he can do through his power that has that work within us to use us to transform eternities. Amen? To illustrate this, I want to close out with an analogy I did a few years back. And I want you to imagine that this is the timeline of your existence. And imagine it goes on and on and on. This is the timeline of your existence. And then this little orange part right here is your time on earth. And then we're dreaming about our 20-year anniversary and where we'll be 20 years from now. And I just want for a minute, want you to consider where you'll be 200 years from now or 1,000 years from now. And it's so interesting to me how much we can get caught up with this. And even though the kingdom of God can start here, I want to be of Jesus for all of this. And it's so interesting to me how we get caught up to graduate here, to get a job here, in order to get married here, and to have kids here, and to give the best of everything I got here to my work, finally retire so I can finally enjoy that when I'm free. Why would we dream about this instead of dreaming about this? And I just wanted you to, for a moment, just think about this moment right there.
I'm gonna go up with you.
For the first time ever, you get to see Jesus. And you've pictured his face 1,000 times. But you finally get to see him. And he hugs you. And he says, "Welcome home, good and faithful servant." And we're talking about a 20-year anniversary. Can I call a 1,000-year anniversary from North River about right here? Can I do that? Jeff and I aren't going to preach. Jesus is going to preach. It's going to be a lot better, right? Be a lot better. And imagine it's everyone for the next 1,000 years that's ever been a part of North River, that's ever been influenced by anyone in this church, that ever became a Christian and moved, and all their kids and grandkids and so on and so forth. And there's thousands and thousands of us. And it's the greatest worship of all time. And then afterwards, you're fellowshipping, and then you get a tap on the shoulder, and you turn, and it's Jesus. You hug him. And then he goes, "I want to introduce you to somebody." And then he kind of turns and you look and there's this big crowd. And you look and it was your coworker from 2025. And you go, "Dude, I haven't seen you. I was a little worried, but I'm so glad you're here. Where have you been?" And he says, "Well, man, I wanted to get my wife and you know her and you know my kids. But I wanted to get my whole family." And he noticed this big crowd. And these are my grandkids. And those are my great-grandkids. And hey, that big group back there, that like 50 people, that's my great-great-grandkids. And hey, everybody back in the back, there's 100 people back there. Those are my great-great-great-great-grandkids. And goes on and on. And he says, guys, this is the dude I've been telling you about. He was my coworker in 2025. And he loved me. We became best friends. He showed me the scriptures. I got baptized. He was in my wedding. Our kids were best friends. And I just wanted to show you who God used, who the grace of God used to start this legacy. And one by one, they come up and give you a hug. Thank you for meeting my dad. Thank you for loving my grandfather. On and on and on. And all you can do is look at Jesus. Because you know all of this, there's no way that's because of a human's power. It's only because of Jesus's power that is working through us. But for some crazy reason, he gives us the power through his grace to not just impact people's lives on earth, but to impact people's eternities. Amen? That's who we are as North River. That's who we are as a church. And as we're inspired by gratitude and inspired by grace for how God has built this church, let us have faith about what he can do these next 20 years, not just to impact our lives here on earth, but how you can use North River to impact eternity. Amen.